This is Anna Karmu with UN News. Human trafficking takes many forms and can involve forced labor or domestic servitude, but when it comes to misusing technology platforms online, that's mainly being done by sex traffickers to target and manipulate their victims. New research, conducted by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, shows how victims are being lured via social media and online dating platforms, where personal information and location details are readily available. Tiffany Creighton, a UNODC crime prevention and criminal justice officer, spoke to Louise Potterton and told her about the challenges of trying to shut down sex trafficking networks.
Trafficking happens for different types of exploitation, for forced labor, for domestic servitude, for organ removal. But new technologies, so information and communication technologies, are mostly being used for sexual exploitation online. And traffickers use technologies basically at every step of the crime, from the moment they profile the victims to the moment they recruit them, exploit them, control them, and finally launder the profits of the crime. So really, information and communication technologies are very useful for traffickers. They are enabling them to make huge profits out of them.
You mentioned profiling the victims and how the traffickers can use technology to do this. Can you just explain that in more detail?
So I think a lot of people, when they go to social media platforms like Facebook or LinkedIn, they don't realize how traffickers can actually, or criminals generally, can use all this material that's available online. And traffickers are very opportunistic in that regard. They first detect their victims by going through their Facebook profile, for example. And they get information about their relatives, their friends, their hobbies, pictures of the holidays. They get to understand where they live and what job they do, what problems they have, what makes them happy, all kinds of information that people usually post on social media without thinking further. And that's being used later on in the commission of the crime.
And how do they then actually use this information? Is this used in this recruitment process?
Exactly. So they use it to get to understand what person they have in front of them, and then they can pretend, they can take another identity and get in contact with these people. And in a certain way, they can, for example, try to flirt with their victims and pretend to be a boyfriend and start a relationship with them, since they know so much about them. And this is what we call the lover boy method. So in which actually the traffickers will pretend to be in a relationship with the victims until they get materials from them, like naked pictures or material like this, and they will then manage to blackmail them for trafficking activities.
Could you just explain a bit more about the recruitment? Because the way that traffickers work, they recruit or they lure their victims with false advertisements. These jobs are not real, or the promises are not real, and then they are exploited. So how do the traffickers use online technologies for this recruitment part?
As you say, they tend to fool the victims, actually, to lie to them, to pretend, to make them believe in a lot. And this happens throughout the planet. Basically, now you can have a trafficker in one country who recruits a victim in another one and invents all kinds of job opportunities and a better life in other countries. So we see a lot of people who got to know the traffickers as a friend and then moved to a country hoping that they would have a certain job or a certain activity, and then the reality was different.
What about exploitation actually taking place online? Is this the case in particular with sexual exploitation?
Yeah, absolutely. The sexual exploitation is happening also online. And we see different sorts of sexual exploitation online. It can be videos that are then shown in different kinds of platforms for lots of customers all around the world. But we also see live streaming of one victim in a certain country for customers basically around the planet. And this type of exploitation is actually highly profitable for the traffickers, since they have this one victim in one country and they can show this live streaming all over the place in all kinds of platforms and get a lot of money for this.
How is this use of technology making it even more difficult for investigators and prosecutors who are handling cases of human trafficking?
That's a good question, because actually, usually investigators and law enforcement officials as a whole are one step behind traffickers. traffickers are very opportunistic. They are very quick at adapting their modus operandi. And usually they really take advantage of whatever happens that can increase the profits. So it's very difficult always for investigators to catch up with them. And what we see now with online technologies is that we are somehow two steps backwards, because there is a lot of digital expertise that's still missing across countries.
What are countries actually doing then to combat this? You've just explained that the traffickers, that they're very fast, they embrace these new technologies, but how can countries then counter this?
So countries now more and more have to cooperate with each other. It's almost impossible to make a successful trafficking investigation of online cases without cooperating with other jurisdictions, since many of these cases, if not most, have a trafficker in one country with a victim in a different country and customers all around the place, even profits sometimes concealed in yet another country. So it's necessary actually for the investigation, for investigators to cooperate. But of course, this is challenging in itself. Now with information and communication technologies, it's very difficult because it's necessary for all the investigators to have somehow a certain level of digital expertise in order to gather the evidence, to master these technologies and to be able to store this evidence. And we see a lot of challenges in that regard.
How important is the cooperation with the tech companies that are providing these platforms, for example, the social media platforms or the dating apps?
These companies like Google, Facebook, they have a huge role to play. They are hosting a lot of activities, so they have to be aware and they have to take their own steps to counter traffickers. But they have also developed, for some of them, very interesting tools that investigators can use in their investigations. So this is why also the UN is really supporting states in creating public-private partnerships in that regard. It really helps for investigators to have the latest tools and to gain the digital expertise to use them.
What about control? Because for traffickers, the way that they control, whether this is physical or psychological control, it's an important part of this process. So do the traffickers also use technology to control their victims?
The traffickers definitely use technologies like information and communication technologies to control their victims. One typical case is when the traffickers can have some naked or intimate pictures of their victims. And if they know the contact information of their parents or relatives, then they will play with that. We see that a lot in a lot of places to force the victims to create a lot of fear and to force them to continue being exploited. But they also control them through their phones, GPS, and other means, through cameras also. So they will use anything that they have at their disposal to actually keep controlling the victims.
We've been talking a lot about how traffickers abuse technology, but technology can also be used for good, so to prevent trafficking or to help investigations. Can you give me examples of this?
Yes, we have seen investigators, prosecutors, getting really used to great tools that can really counter trafficking in persons. And for example, some tools have been developed who really successfully help identifying reports of child sexual abuse online. For example, photo DNA and other data scanning tools, which allow investigators to scan millions of images within some hours, which would be impossible for human beings to do. And then, for example, these tools, they allow to identify this material and remove it from the platforms so that it doesn't keep re-victimizing the people who are figuring in them. So that's a certain type of tool, but there are lots of other tools, applications and other digital tools that have been developed.
Of course, it's good that technology can be used to prevent this horrific crime and maybe support investigations. But is there not also a danger that if investigators have, you know, access to such material, it's infringing the rights to privacy and human rights?
Yes, the right to data protection and right to privacy is really a concern we have here at the UN. And it's very important, actually, that when investigators, judicial police, prosecutors make investigations online, that they really do it, that they operate within a certain legal framework. So since these technologies are new, sometimes the legal frameworks are not yet developed, and this is an urgent thing to do. Then, of course, it's very important to train law enforcement officials to respect these frameworks, because in the course of these investigations, a lot of personal information can be accessible. And we have to make sure that this is not misused for other purposes, or that it doesn't go public or it's misstored. So we have to really pay attention that the right to privacy and human rights as a whole are actually respected by law enforcement officials.